الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن المسلمين والمسلمات والمؤمنين والمؤمنات والقانتين والقانتات والصادقين والصادقات والصابرين والصابرات والخاشعين والخاشعات والمتصدقين والمتصدقات والصائمين والصائمات والحافظين فروجهم والحافظات والذاكرين الله كثيرا والذاكرات أعد الله لهم مغفرة وأجرا عظيما علمنا رسول علمنا الله تعالى ربنا أفرغ علينا صبرا وثبت أقدامنا وانصرنا على القوم الكافرين صدق الله العظيم. Most respected elder and friends, mothers, brothers, sisters, and all the people that are listening to this program, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. This is the fifth discourse on Dil Ki Dunya, the world of the heart. I've recited before you verse 35 of Surah Ahzab, which is on the first page of the 22nd juz of the Quran Kareem. Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala enumerates 10 outstanding qualities of believers. Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala says, Innal Muslimina wal Muslimat. Indeed, Muslim males and Muslim females. Wal Mu'minina wal Mu'minat. Muslim Mu'min males and Mu'min females. Wal Qanitina wal Qanitat. Content males and content females. والصادقين والصادقات, truthful males and truthful females. والصابرين والصابرات, and patient males and patient females. والخاشعين والخاشعات, devout dedicated males, devout dedicated females. والمتصدقين والمتصدقات, those males and those females that give sadqa and charity. وَالصَّائِمِينَ وَالصَّائِمَاتِ, and males that fast and males that females that fast. وَالْحَافِذِينَ فُرُوجَهُمْ وَالْحَافِظَاتِ, and those males that are chaste and females that are chaste. وَالذَّاكِرِينَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا وَالذَّاكِرَاتِ, and those males and females that engage in abundant dhikr of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala has promised two rewards for each one of these categories. Almighty Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala has promised them forgiveness and great ajar and reward. The fifth quality is sabr. Yesterday, we discussed the first step for reformation is i'tiraf, confession of sin, acknowledgement of sin. You got a weakness, you got a shortcoming, it is bothering you, you need to change the direction of your life, but you got to accept and acknowledge that I got a weakness in me. If you're going to be in a state of denial, or you're going to justify your wrong, you will never ever change, you'll never reform. The stepping stone for reformation is acknowledgement. Once you acknowledge, you start reproaching yourself. That is something Allah tabarak wa ta'ala likes. From the three nafs that Allah ta'ala speaks in the Quran Kareem, Allah does not take an oath on nafs ammara. Allah does not take an oath that is even more superior nafs mutmainna. Allah takes an oath on nafs lawwama. Because that is a stepping stone for a person to get closer to Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. The second step for reformation, Hazrat Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah alayhi states, is sabr. The general understanding of sabr is, when a difficulty or a calamity comes upon a person, then he has to be patient. Tolerate it, overlook it. Ride the wave as it comes. That is one understanding of sabr. Allah tells us in the Quran Kareem, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَنَقْصٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ. Indeed, we are going to test the people by putting fear in their lives, hunger in their lives, decreasing their wealth, their lives, and their investment, their samarat. But during these challenges of life, those people that are patient, sabr, Allah Ta'ala gives basharat and glad tidings for them. They turn to Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala in that condition. That is one aspect of sabr. Hazrat Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi states that sabr has a more broader understanding than just sabr alal musibat. One is sabr alal musibat. Difficulty, calamity comes upon you, then you are patient at that. The other, for spiritual reformation, is sabr ala ta'a and sabr anil ma'asiyah. To be sabr, to have patience upon fulfilling the orders of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Whatever orders Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has given you, to be patient on that. Fulfill it, execute it. Whatever the challenges are, you're going to do what Allah wants you to do. And the second, sabr anil ma'asiyah. Those things that Allah tabarak wa ta'ala stopped you from, prohibited you from. He prohibited from zina, prohibited from theft, prohibited from every evil trait. You withhold yourself from that. You are patient. And you respect the prohibitions of Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. So Hazrat Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi states that this important step for reformation is sabr. Whatever Allah tabarak wa ta'ala told you to do, you be patient. You carry it out. What Allah tabarak wa ta'ala prohibited you from, you be patient and you abstain from that. That is called sabr ala ta'a, and that is called sabr anil ma'asiyah. Stay away from it. And once a person, he's got that sabr in him, he's got that ability in him to be patient, that is the greatest ni'mat and the greatest bounty of Allah upon an individual. Generally we falter because we don't have the sabr within us. But once you create that sabr, you create that ability, that resistance within yourself, now you will be able to withstand the challenges of life. You'll be able to execute the order of Allah with ease, and you'll be able to abstain from all the prohibitions with ease. That is why Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam reported to have mentioned that ma ahadun ما أعطي أحد خير وأوسع من الصبر، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام: Nobody is given or gifted any gift more better and more broader, more expansive than sabr. Once you got sabr in you, then it becomes very easy for you to overcome any challenge in life. When a person is driving a motor vehicle in a bumpy road, depending on the size of the motor vehicle, it will absorb the bumps on the road. The car got its shock absorbers. It takes it. You sit in the car, you don't feel it so much because it got shock absorbers. And the bigger the vehicle, the stronger the shock absorbers. The shock absorber of a truck is bigger than the motor vehicle. The shock absorber of probably a bus is even bigger than that. And the shock absorber of an aeroplane is even bigger than everything else. An aeroplane, it is flying at 800 kilometers an hour. It has to land, generally it lands at a speed of 170 kilometers. And then its weight, an empty aeroplane, is at 40,000 kilograms. And a full aeroplane, depending on the size of aeroplane, 80,000 kilograms. Imagine a full plane, 80,000 kilograms, flying at the speed of 200 kilometers, and it has to land on the ground. And that is why it has those Honeywell wheels, and then it got strong shock absorbers. You see, when an aeroplane, when it falls on the ground, then you can see that spark coming out from the ground. It absorbs. One is the bump of the road. One is the bump of the aeroplane. But you and I, Allah is going to put us into many more bumps in life. We need stronger shock absorbers. Stronger shock absorber than the vehicle, than the bus, than the truck, than the aeroplane. Our shock out. We are being shocked with halat in life because of the test of our iman. And therefore it is very, very important. Sometimes we see during the load shedding period that suddenly the lights go and then there's a surge, all the appliances give up. And then you get a surge protector. You have a surge protector. You got a surge protector, now your computer will not be crashed, your appliances all will be saved. This sabr is just like a shock absorber. This sabr that we have within us, it is like the surge protector. Condition, lightning of life will come, but we can withhold it and we can be able to contain ourselves. Carry on with life. But how do you get it? Where do you get it from? Where do you get this shock absorber? Where do you get this lightning protector, this surge? Where do you get it from? You only get it from Allah. You ask Allah to give it, Allah will give you. And the hadith states, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, مَنْ يَتَصَبَّرْ يُصَبِّهِرُ اللَّهِ. That person who adopts sabr, who wants to create sabr in him, that internal resistance within him, that shock absorber within him, that surge protector within him, Allah will give it to you. And the greatest thing that Allah can give anyone is this sabr within a person. Once you have that resistance within you, that quality within yourself, it's now any challenge in life will come. In your worldly related issues, in your ibadat, you'll just continue. You'll go through it. Simply because you asked Allah for sabr, Allah gave it to you, and you'll be able to go with it because inna Allah ma'as sabirin. When Allah is with you, definitely you'll have the help and madad and nusrat of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. And remember, Allah will never put us into a condition that we can never bear. La yukallifu Allahu nafsan illa wus'aha. Allah will not obligate us to do something that we cannot do. If Allah put us into certain conditions in life, it means we can go through it. We can challenge it. We can overcome it. No need for grief and depression. It's a test of our iman. Turn to Allah and face the challenge in life. Turn to Allah and execute the order of Allah.
It's not difficult. Turn to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Stay away from that guna that Allah has told us to stay away from. And Allah gives it to a person. One is that you make dua to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. And the other is that Allah tabarak wa ta'ala put us to certain a pace in life through which sabr is created within us. Allah develops that sabr within us. When a child is born, the child got no sabr at all. It's human nature. You don't have it. The moment the child feels hungry, the child is not going to have sabr. The child is going to cry. When you heard about a child having sabr, or you tried to give talqeen to a child to make sabr, the child will never understand. If the child is messed up, there's nothing as sabr. The child is going to cry immediately. The child got no sabr at all. But as you grow in life, and because the challenge of iman is going to come, Allah put us through the phase in life and practical thing to which sabr is developed within us. A child is playing around at home, no resistance, and suddenly he has to go to a madrasa. And the first day of the madrasa, he's playing around, the ustad tell him, "Hey, discipline. Make sure you come on time." He does anything wrong, in the class he's reprimanded. And the child learns from there how to listen, how to obey. Now he's not free to do what he wants to. He's through that phase, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala is creating in him a certain discipline. Then he goes to the school, the same thing will happen. If he comes late, he's being reprimanded. He does anything wrong, he's being reprimanded. And the child now realizes that there are do's and there are don'ts. If I do it, I'll be rewarded. If I don't do it, I'll be punished and reprimanded. He learns this through the different practical aspects of life. And as he grows bigger, already the discipline is in him. There are do's in life, there are don'ts in life. Then he goes for employment. And then his employer tell him, "You have to do this, you have to abstain from this. Rules and regulations, the contractual agreement is in place. And at the end of the month, you will get your wage, you'll get your remuneration based on the discipline you had done. You did your awamir, you abstained from the nawahi. Now you're going to get a paycheck." Exactly in the same way. Through this, Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala nurtures us to create a discipline within our own selves. And it is very, very important that we understand what this discipline is all about, what this sabr is all about. One is a discipline, and one is, it is a sabr, and the other is, you must not place your nafs in a challenging position. Sabr is there. Stay away from those places that would jolt your nafs. You got that internal resistance, but at the same time, don't trust your nafs. Your nafs can be jolted to do the wrong things. Hazrat Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi gives a very beautiful example for this. He says, there was a woodcutter. He was cutting wood. Every day he should take the bundle of wood, take it home, and then sell it in a market and earn his income. On one occasion, he took, cut the wood, and he emptied his parcel at home. He found a dead snake. He didn't realize that probably the snake was on the tree, he cut that wood, and that snake have also came into the parcel, into the bundle. So he thought to himself, the snake is dead. It can't do anything. But as the sun rose, he noticed life coming into the snake, and the snake is starting to move. So Hazrat Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi states that the nafs, it is just like the dead snake. Leave it dead. Leave it frozen. Don't let the heat come onto the nafs. Just as that heat came onto the snake, and the snake came alive, and it started moving, likewise, that keep our nafs dead. Don't present the nafs in a place where you give heat to the nafs, you give desire to the nafs, and now the nafs is going to start becoming active. You know, you can't resist certain things. So all those things that will lead to certain things, you abstain from that. In the hadith, it is mentioned that certain people, they came from Yemen. They came from Bahrain, they came to Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told them, when they asked Nabiya sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about intoxicants, Nabiya Kareem didn't prohibit them from the intoxicants, Nabiya sallallahu prohibited them from the containers of the intoxicants. Because if you have said, you look at the container, you are addicted. But if you're going to look at the container, then immediately your mind will go to the intoxicant. You won't have that sabr. You present your nafs to that. If a person was addicted to smoking, he gave it up, now he sees a Stuyvesant box. Or you see a Rothman box. Immediately his mind will think that that desire will come into him. Or one person, he's got a habit of taking drugs. He gave it up, alhamdulillah. But now, he's in the company of people that are taking drugs. You now, putting heat onto your nafs. Then it becomes very difficult. One is natural sabr, and one is to present your nafs in a situation where your nafs desires. And you can't trust our nafs. And nobody of us can trust our nafs. Hazrat Maulana Masihullah Sahab, Hazrat Ji Rahmatullah Ali used to say, never ever trust the nafs. Even if you think you have spiritually cleansed yourself and you brought your nafs into a point of a farishta, like a nafs of a farishta, then too also don't trust your nafs. You will never know that when you may falter. So therefore, don't feed the nafs. If you can't trust yourself with the opposite gender, don't go to mixed gatherings. You can't trust yourself with the opposite gender, don't go to mixed gatherings. You can't trust yourself with your eyes or with your passion and your desire, then don't open up that laptop or that computer or whatever it is in total privacy or in the bedroom. If you need to, in public, in front of other people, because you can't trust yourself. Put systems in place to control your nafs and your desire. And if you do that, then you'll be able to control your nafs. That is what we call sabr. See, Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala gives us the incident of Yusuf alayhi salatu wa salam in the Quran Kareem. Yusuf alayhi salatu wa salam was extremely handsome. So handsome that when Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went for Mi'raj, Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came back and he told the ummah that Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala created beauty, divided beauty into two. Half the beauty of the creation of Allah was found alone in Yusuf alayhi salatu wa salam. One can imagine how handsome and how good looking was Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. And see what the women of Egypt, how they express, in haza illa malakun kareem. This is not a human being. This is an honorable angel. The women of Misr, they are saying about Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, he's an honorable angel. He is in his youth. He is alone in the house with the wife of the minister. That was even more challenging than just having our computers and our laptops. In total isolation and away from home in a foreign land. You have no contact with your family. And here, the wife of the minister seduces him. وَرَاوَدَتُ الَّتِي هُوَ فِي بَيْتِهَا عَنْ نَفْسِهِ وَغَلَّقَتِ الْأَبْوَابِ. She seduced him. First, she is a wife of the minister. He himself is so handsome and he is in his youth. He's away from home. There's every possible natural reason for him to fulfill himself. And here, an ideal opportunity, the wife of the minister, in total isolation, and she is calling unto him and she says, "Hey Talak, come to me." Look at the sabr in him. What was that in Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam that created the resistance? He says, "Ma'ad Allah, innahu rabbi ahsana mathwai, innahu la yuflihu al-zalimun." I cannot do this. I cannot do it. What you want from me, I cannot succumb to that. And look at it further, how Allah speaks about it. وَلَقَدْ هَمَّتْ بِهِ وَهَمَّ بِهَا. Hammat is referring to a type of a feeling. In hadith, we talk about it in 5 categories. Hajiz, Khatir, Hadith, Ham and Azm. 5 categories. This is the 4th category when a person is irresponsible. So usually, Salatu Wasalam, he also had that feeling. وَلَقَدْ هَمَّتْ بِهِ. She had a feeling, initially she had a feeling that was ham, later on became azm. That is why she ran behind him. But see what Yusuf Ali Salatu Wasalam did, he resisted. And he ran towards the door. He knew, he thought he was going to run away, but the doors were already locked. But when you make sabr, وَمَنْ يَتَصَبَّرْ يُصَبِّرُهُ اللَّهِ. When you ask Allah for sabr, you want to resist, Allah will give you the sabr to the extent that in a most constrained situation, Allah will open the way for you. Doors were locked, and Allah tabarak wa ta'ala opened the doors for Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. There was one muhaddith, Sulaiman ibn Yasar, rahmatullah alayhi. Great muhaddith, his name appears in many books of Siyah Sittah. He and a group of people were traveling for Hajj. They came to a certain place, they pitched the tent, and other members of the group, they had to go and do other responsibilities. He was alone in the tent. He was extremely handsome, very, very good looking. So, one woman in that area, she observed the handsomeness of Sulaiman ibn Yasar, rahmatullah alayh. She waited for the opportunity. Everybody got from the tent. And here she approaches him. She comes to a tent. Sulaiman ibn Yasar thought that she's a woman in need. So he asked her, what's your need? She brought the courage and she says that I want from you what a woman wants from a man. I would have an intimate relationship with you. Can you imagine? You on travel and there's a woman approaching you, you not approaching the woman. What was that in Sulaiman ibn Yasar? How he resisted? He started hitting his thighs and he started crying and making a noise. That woman got afraid and she ran away. Sulaiman ibn Yasar, when his colleague came back, they saw his eyes were watery. They asked him, Sheikh, what happened? He didn't say anything. They proceed, they go to Makkah Mukarramah. After making Umrah, he sleeps in the Mataf. And in his dream, he sees Yusuf alayhi salatu wassalam. Sulaiman ibn Yasar told Yusuf alayhi salatu wassalam, Hazrat, your incident with Zulaikha, the wife of the minister, is absolutely surprising, unique. Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam told him, and Allah sent Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam at Basharat to give him, that your incident with that woman there in the tent is even more ajeeb. How you resisted? And this is the important thing. We need to create the resistance within ourselves. I'll just give you one more incident because there's a great need. We need sabr on ta'a. We need, more important than that, sabr anil ma'asiyat. Stay away from guna. All those things that will lead you to a sin, stay away from it. You can't trust yourself, keep away from it. And apart from that, don't present yourself in a situation where you're going to jolt enough, you're going to put heat in enough to be able to commit that sin. Hazrat Maulana Siddiq Bandwi Sahab, rahmatullahi alayhi, rahmatan wasi'a, he mentioned in his book, is Adabul Muta'allimin. He speaks about a student that he was studying in one particular masjid. In those days, they should allow the students to stay in the masjid and to facilitate for them. So they would take care of the affairs of the masjid, and at the same time they had a place to sleep and they would be able to continue with their studies. A riot broke out in that area. And there was one young girl. Her life was under threat. She happened to come and took refuge in the masjid. Here, there's a young boy, and there's a young girl. And as been described, a very good, beautiful woman. You are alone at the time of the riot, and here a woman's life is in danger. She comes to a masjid. He tells to her, go out of the masjid. I'm the caretaker of the masjid, you can't stay here. The responsible people of the masjid will kick me out from here if I allow you to stay here. She pleaded with him and she told to him, my life is in threat. My life is in danger. I can't go away. He was helpless, she had to stay there. At night she observed this young boy. He stayed awake whole night and he got a candle, and every now and then he's taking his finger and he's putting it by the fire of the candle. And he's pulling it out. Putting in the fire of the candle, pulling it out. Burning himself, as though burning himself. In the morning, she was about to go. He told to her, please leave now, because you're going to put me into trouble. She said, I'll leave, but I want you to answer me one question. At night I saw you, that you had a candle, you're putting your finger, you're putting that finger by that fire, and you were pulling it out. What were you doing? He then told to her, that every time a thought came to my mind, to approach you, I put my finger inside this fire and I thought to myself, the consequence of approaching you is going to be a fire worse than this fire of this world. And when I couldn't tolerate this fire of the world, how am I going to tolerate the fire of Jahannam? And I kept on doing that. One is sabr and one is to adopt all means for a person to stay away from guna and sins. Very often, I heard my Shaykh, Hazrat Mufti Mahmood Hasan Gangohi Rahmatullah Ali, even old age. Remember, he was ripe in his age. He was a great person. But whenever he used to make dua, there weren't any sophisticated words in his dua. Simple dua. And nearly every time I heard him making dua, I heard him making this dua, ya Rabbana afrigh alayna sabra. Rabbana afrigh alayna sabra. Wasabbit aqdamana wansurna ala alqawmi alkafirin. And I used to wonder, there's so many other duas. And duas with so beautiful words and sophisticated words. And here, Hazrat make a simple dua. Rabbana afrigh alayna sabra. And that time, we weren't that matured still learning much in life. But at that time, lesser in degree of today. And why Hazrat only making that dua? But when you go through the challenges of life, and you know what life is all about, and life give you that bumps, the test of life comes regarding yourself, regarding your family, regarding your children, regarding the community. When all those challenges of life, then you know, oh, Rabbana afrigh alayna sabra. How much of sabr you need. And often we fail in the challenges of life because of lack of sabr. Afrigh alayna sabra. And look at how Allah Ta'ala says it. Not Rabbana anzil alayna sabra. Rabbana afrigh alayna sabra. Allah, pour that sabr on me. Pour it. Pour it. When you got that sabr, then sabit aqdamana. You'll keep your feet firm. You'll be able to challenge, take on the challenges of life. We make dua. Allah grant us tawfiq and hidayat. Wa akhir da'wana. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.